Julie, no? 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 Calm down. Calm down.
Hey, we were having fun.
Julie, welcome to the BRC. This is your official welcome. See, for whatever reason, when I share, everything goes kaput. Not always, but it just seems like probably operator error on my part, but it's all right. Good. That'll work. So, I've been sharing with the youth for a while, and so I can't remember if I've shared this with you guys already or not, but if I have, hopefully it'll be a refresher, and if I haven't, then here we go. But one of the things that has really been like an emphasis on my heart has been concerning the knowledge of man versus the knowledge of God. And I remember one of the last times Raven shared, I can't remember the comment he made. Very, very good statements throughout, but one of them just floored me. I think it was towards the end. And that's what stuck. That's what got my attention the most. That's what was highlighted. Sound familiar, guys? Yeah, sure. So during this lesson or during the sharing, if something does get your attention, guys, jot it down. Put it in your phone because I'll be asking for it afterwards. And so the knowledge of man versus the knowledge of God. And even right now during the sharing, during every service, during every Bible study, during every time of reading or study or conference or anything like that, with whatever form, we're listening, we're processing, we're understanding, and we're possibly learning. And what we're learning, I'll say it this way, what we're learning with is this thing right here that I call the natural mind. The mind of the first man, Adam. The mind that every single person is born with when they're born in the flesh. Now, when we're born again, the Apostle Paul said it, we have the mind of Christ. It's instantly, just as we have the life of Christ, just as we have the righteousness of Christ, just as we have the wisdom of Christ, because it is all bound up in a person who is the life of our soul. I don't know if crux is the right word or if there's a better word. The breakdown, that's an easier, better word. The breakdown comes when we look into a natural mirror and believe that what we're looking at and processing with our natural mind, we believe that that's our life. And then we look down here and we believe that our natural life is here below. We think we can find our life below when we cannot. We think we can see our life with a natural eye when we cannot. We think we can understand our life with a natural brain, and we cannot. See, anytime anything is shared, read, learned, whatever, listen, if you can apply it down here, then it's by your natural mind that you received it. It's still me. But see, God, He is beyond our natural mind. And our natural mind, though some of us don't have the highest knowledge on things, you can tell you guys who are finally listening or viewing this, if you're viewing it at all, you know, it's because, hey, that's about where I rank right there. There's others that, oh my gosh, they know more. There's totally different levels of the knowledge of man. From the zero IQ to the highest IQ. I'm not going to mention any names here. But see, oh, Kim got it. Noah didn't get that. Gosh, come on. But see, this is all with our natural mind. And don't say, okay, well, I need to check my brain in at the door. No. See, we learn about God with the natural mind. I mean, you can look outside this whole creation. God created this natural creation. There is no excuse for the one who is not born again and said, well, no, I don't believe in God, and you know, because blah, 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 blah. There's no excuse. God has testified of his Son even in this natural creation. The more perfect testimony, of course, is the Scriptures. The perfect testimony of Christ. Even Jesus himself said it. They are they that testify of me. And actually, that's the purpose of the whole entire Scripture itself. So if we end up with some other purpose, then we're missing the purpose for which God gave the Scriptures, which is to testify of his Son. Okay, so we learn about God, and that's the key word, about. Where should I put it? Can you guys see that? We learn about God down here below with our natural mind. And see, all that learning about can really stack up over the years. In fact, the longer a person's been born again, and I'll just use this phrase, on fire for God, or going after the Lord, or getting after it, or whatever phrase, you know, you were part of at one time. Mine, I think, was like, go for God, or something like that. You'll gain natural knowledge. And then, unfortunately, because it's still the natural mind, we compare ourselves among ourselves. And Paul, by the mind of Christ, declares that's not wise. Because all that is still down here below. And so I may have gone to the next level and think I know something. Well, maybe I know something, but I have yet, listen, to know God. Because the knowing of God, God's knowledge, does not come about by my gaining of knowledge. It's either one or the other. It's either my mind, our mind, or it is the eternal mind, the mind of Christ. The one who's not born again, hey, they're just stuck with that natural mind of the first man, Adam. That's what it is right there. And I used to have this thought, and it didn't last long when I rethought it a couple weeks ago, but I used to have this thought, and the thought came, and then instantly a more truer statement came into my heart. But my thought used to be this: man tends towards chaos, right? He doesn't tend towards order or peace. No, he tends towards chaos. You turn on the news, what do you see? The chaos of man. Immediately, Cain and Abel, what do you see? The chaos of man. And I thought about that. Man tends towards chaos, and it's like, no, wipe the board clean. I don't think so. No. Man who is not born again is in a state of chaos, in a state of death, in a state of darkness that only changes when, by God taking the initiative, does what no man can, could, or can ever do. The Lord steps in and by his own Spirit performs a miracle in the heart to direct a heart unto his Son. Now I left out the eternal cross manifested. The very first time the heart turns to the Lord is true repentance. Because I know you guys know this, but for those who've never heard this, repentance is not doing something bad and then saying, I'm sorry, Lord, please forgive me. That's not repentance, though you should do that. You should do that. Repentance is when the heart turns to the Lord. And repentance is granted of God. I cannot do this. You cannot do this. God and God alone does this. It is called a miracle. God is the Almighty El Shaddai. We are the all impotent, zero ability. But looking in a natural mirror, hey, we can, you know, raise to the next level and believe, well, I've studied this, or I've learned this, or I've heard this, or I read so-and-so's book. Well, I've been, you know, under so-and-so's teaching or preaching. No. Zero ability. In fact, I'll read the passage in a second. Zero ability whatsoever. Zero ability. Now, I'm speaking concerning the born-again believer at this point. There's been a miracle of God performed in the heart. The heart's turned to the Lord, and Christ has appeared in the heart, in the soul. That soul has actually, at that moment when Christ has appeared, that soul has come to the purpose for which God created it. You could write it over the door of the soul. It's finished. No more to add. It's done. It's like the wedding feast in Canaan. They were totally empty. The water pots. They were totally out of wine. They come to Jesus. He says, hey, my time has not yet come. And there he goes, performs the first miracle recorded. He changes one condition. How shall I do this? I know my dudes are kind of not proportional. Wow, really not proportional. Changes the condition completely. What is completely impossible in nature to do. You can't change water into wine. That's impossible. And not only that, I read some commentary, forgive me, I can't remember what it was. It's been a while ago. But they said that they had them fill the jars to the rim, like to the full, replete, where you can't add anything else. It's so full, it's like it's got that little bubble on the edge, you know. When you got it that full, it's like you don't want to carry that. You know it's going to drip over. You cannot add any more to it. The water pots were filled to the full. You can't add any more to it. That's how full and complete that condition was of death, chaos, and darkness. You can't add to it. You can't change it because it was full. You couldn't add anything to it. I mean, Jesus couldn't say, well, I'm going to give you a little bit of meat in this condition. No, that was full. And just as that was totally, completely, and perfectly filled, I think Rabin's said this better than I'm probably saying it. I know in his lessons. The Lord takes the initiative, performs a miracle, does what no man can do. Man found in dire distress. We have a situation. We can do nothing. Let's go to Jesus. I mean, even his mom came to him. Son, they're out of wine. Help. A marriage feast. The very first miracle, a union, changes water, which biblically speaking is chaos. I mean, you can search it out. The Nile River, chaos. The waters, chaos. Completely ends that condition, totally, perfectly ends it, and brings forth a perfect, complete new condition. in an instant. Only he could do it. Man couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. No man. No man. God and God alone took the initiative. He performed this first miracle. And there was a union between the soul and the spirit, between the husband and the wife. A perfect union. So perfect that even as it was perfectly filled in a chaotic condition of death, it's perfectly filled in a righteousness, peace, the kingdom of God, holiness, love, add all the words. Christ fully and completely fills the soul. Fully and completely. Perfectly. You cannot add more of Jesus. You cannot take away. I mean, and that's the thing. We can't undo what the Almighty has done. If we think we can, then we think that we are greater than the Almighty. When we're not. But here it is. We think. We think. And that's the problem. Is that we've used this natural mind, this earthly mind, carnal mind, temporal mind, mind of the first man, Adam, ignorant mind. I call it ignorant because it's not the mind of Christ. Ever since we were born in the flesh, we're so used to it. I mean, we're so like the Jews in Egypt, we're so used to watering our garden with our feet. Yeah, you can look it up. It's actually in the scriptures where you watered your garden with your foot. We're used to it. That's how we grew up. That's how we processed and learned. So though everything has changed, though the eternal change has come into our soul at the moment of new birth, we still, I would say for the most part, still have our heart. I'm missing a red color. I need to get a red color up here. Our heart is still submitted to that natural mind. And I put it like a dashed square because that natural mind is not present. That head isn't even present. That would be like saying that after the children of Israel with the testimony, we get at the testimony, when they were in Egypt and God totally destroyed and showed himself all powerful against the head and gods of Egypt, sent forth his son, completely other, that same son was slain. And then, here's the key. About is in the way. The natural mind is in the way. And isn't it always in the way? Yes, it is. And, blue. And scripturally, biblically, everything that is dead must be buried. You have the Passover, death of the Lamb. Christ took in himself. He did this. He took in himself his condition and state, brought it to an end, a perfect death. What's dead must be buried, a perfect burial, the Red Sea. The Lord says, these Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more forever. That's what God saw. Unfortunately, because our hearts are submitted, here we go, to this natural mind that does not belong, that's not what we see. Because we see with the natural eye, and we process what we see and hear with the natural brain. And God says that's ignorance and darkness. He knows that, but he doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave us there. Do you see? Oh, yes, and of course, after the burial, what do you have? Resurrection. Fully glorified seed. The seed in increase. The glorified seed, Christ himself, is what we receive at the moment of new birth. He's not a small Jesus growing up, no. Fully glorified. A new head is present, but like the children of Israel, in the book of Acts, in their hearts, they went back to Egypt. Believing Pharaoh was present in the wilderness when he was not. A new king, a shout of a king was among them. Think, I can't remember if I've shared this with you guys. I think I've shared it with you. But think about just a desert. Just think about that. I mean, I don't think I've been to a desert. But if I would be at the desert, let's say the Sahara Desert. I think you guys went to the desert at one point, right? Some desert? Sand dunes? How long ago? Okay, okay. I'd say the same. So you look around with the natural eyes, and you begin to process stuff with a natural brain. And depending on how many shows you've watched, you process more accurately than someone else who's never been to a desert or has no former natural knowledge of being in the desert. But nonetheless, in the desert, there should be, literally no sign of life. If it's a true desert, zero sign of life. You can look around and say, there's no life here. And that's what we do. That is exactly what we do. We as believers, with our hearts submitted to this natural mind, we look around. In fact, we look at this natural mirror and say, you know what? There's no life here. But what we mean, there is no life here. Because we're ignorant with our natural mind of him who is our life. Because when we look in a natural mirror that's pretty dark like this thing, zero light coming out of this puppy, but it reflects really well, but it reflects my own face. And I look at that and I say, oh, there's my life. No, it's not. In a desert, there is no evidence of our true life, who Christ is. There is only the evidence of what we, with a natural mind, call life. What we called life before we were born again. And God doesn't call that life. He calls that death, chaos, and darkness. And I think it's in Isaiah where he says, calling evil good and good evil, calling light darkness and darkness light. That's what the natural mind does. We don't believe it, but yes, that's what we do. That is what we do when our hearts submitted to that natural mind, which actually isn't even present. Pharaoh's not present. There's a new king who is present. The thing is, we just have not yet seen this new king, because it requires a miracle of God. And even when they were in the wilderness, when they were in the desert, remember, God time and time and time again gave them testimony of himself. Time and time again. One of the times, we went over this in one of the youth lessons. We're thirsty. We're going to die. We. Go to Moses. Moses? We're going to die, Moses. Hey, you're the leader. We're going to die. Moses? What do you say, Lord? Not my mind. Not my mind. But the eternal mind in me. Moses? Take the rod. Hit the stone. If Moses would have declared to the whole entire body of Israel at the time, this is what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to take a rock rod. I'm going to take the rod. And I'm going to strike this rock. I'm going to strike this stone. And we're going to have water. The entire body would say, you are out of your mind. What we need to do is get some shovels, get our hands, and start digging for a well. Because that's how we do it. That's how we do it. But see, how we do it doesn't work in Christ. How we do it is all, listen, applied here below. And if the thing, T-H-I-N-G, is of God, it is without doubt designed of God to direct, turn, lead, guide, bring the heart unto the person of his Son, which person is risen, which person is above. So God gives them the testimony. Strikes the stone, strikes the rock. Fountain of water. But not your typical fountain of water. Not your typical source. Not the natural source below. I'll go ahead and just read the verse now so I don't forget about it. Because it's a good verse. If I can find it. Deuteronomy. Look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 through 12. This is before they enter into the land. This is when the children of Israel are still in the wilderness, still in the desert, still God presenting testimony after testimony after testimony of what? You saw what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings unto myself. Not only that, let them build me a tabernacle that they may know that I am in the midst of them. The tabernacle in the center of the camp, in the center of the body. So Deuteronomy, for the land into which you are entering to possess, look at this, is not like the land of Egypt from which you came. Nothing like it. Not even close to it. It's like Noah's flood. Actually, it's the Lord's flood and the Lord's ark. It's like the destruction of an entire creation. The flood comes, wipes out the face of the earth. What's left? An entirely new creation that is nothing like the old. Your house, you can't find your house anymore. Your friends, you can't find your friends anymore. Your life, what you call life, it's not there anymore. Your job, it's not there anymore. You're in a new creation, and it's time to learn this new creation. And so, for the land into which you're entering to possess it, it is not like the land of Egypt, from which you came, where you used to sow your seed, look at this, and water it with your foot like a vegetable garden. The fountain, the source, was from below. Right? Coming up out of the ground. Coming up out of the earth. That's the source. That's the well. But, I'll say it again, but, someone forgot to. There we go. But. It's a big not but. The land into which you are about to cross to possess it, a land of hills and valleys. But the land, once again, into which you are about to cross to possess it, a land of hills and valleys. Look at this. Drinks water from the rain of heaven. A totally, completely different source. See, before, not in our days, modern days, well, some, yeah, actually in our modern days, we did it just recently, a few years ago. If you go to a plot of land, you need your food, shelter, clothing, right? The basics, necessities. I guess under food comes water to survive. And see, in antiquity, people would get together like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, others, probably even before that. They would go, and maybe it was just one person, maybe it was the head of the household with the house, maybe it was whoever. They would go, get together, and with a consensus, that's the wrong word, with a group effort, they would begin to dig. To get to their source. And the better their source, the higher level. Well, that's BC, before Christ. When we had a source that was past tense, of the earth below. That we could tap into, that we could make much effort and grow in. But see, where the Lord had brought them was not like that source. This source is from above, heavenly, celestial, where man's efforts are futile. If God doesn't, how shall I say this? Provide the source, you die. You, I, even naturally speaking, we can do absolutely nothing to make it rain. We cannot control the weather. The Almighty does. I mean, he proved it in Egypt. The Almighty does. He controls the elements which he created. To drink from this fountain, this is supplied from generation to generation, whether they've come to the Lord or not. Requires the effort of man, man's ability. But to drink from this fountain, you have no control of. You have no control of. Now, listen to me. The woman at the well. Jesus shows up. He had to pass through Samaria. There's a woman at the well. Hey, you know, our fathers, blah, blah, blah. Jacob, our father, he dug this well. And we've been drinking from it since day one, people. It is a fountain with an endless supply. What, are you greater than Jacob who dug this well? Well, if you knew who I was, you would ask me. The true well, the true source, the true fountain of living waters. The fountain that this well that Jacob dug testified of. Because when we come, whether non-believer or believer, to that well, we thirst. There's always something lacking because it's below. We're not really truly satisfied because it's below. Listen, where is my word? It is about, once again, and about is what we can do, what I can do, what you can do. And it's good to learn about. But remember, and you guys, especially the youth should know this, we present all that we have learned about to the Spirit of God, our true teacher, because he's the one who takes the testimony, bring it to its designed end and purpose, to direct our heart. Here we go. Above what no man can do. Where our heart is brought by the Spirit of God I'll say it this way, where our heart is brought by the Spirit of God unto the knowledge of God. At that moment, it is no longer my man's, my, parentheses, man's knowledge. It is no longer our knowledge. It is no longer drawing from this natural well, this natural source that's polluted, by the way. We just don't think so. We call the unclean clean. But we have ability. We have ability there. But see, we are as children that have zero ability concerning God and His source. The moment of new birth, the moment of new birth by the Spirit of God, this eternal fountain comes into our soul, whose name is Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. He's present, a fountain of living waters where we never thirst again, totally, completely satisfied if our hearts are being directed above. Did you hear how I said that? I didn't say if we are directing our hearts above, if we are turning our hearts above. No. There is no we here. Remember, you cannot control the weather. You cannot control the rain. You cannot control the elements. Completely zero power whatsoever. I won't read them, but I was reading last night and I came across the chapter of Job. And so Job, man, he's like his friends, well, actually probably over here, really learned. See, even those who aren't born again can get really learned, you know, totally different levels. I just call it, if it's below, if it's a natural mind, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'd love to be smarter. But regardless, if I'm like zero IQ or perfect IQ, it's still a different level of ignorance. And if I'm born again, it's still a different level of ignorance. Because it is not the light of God, who is a person. And see, that's another thing. It's like, if we learn so much, and even God, I mean, it requires a miracle of God to see the testimony, because remember, God did not leave them and God does not leave us just in the wilderness of ignorance, in the desert of ignorance. No. He provides testimony after testimony, and that testimony, I don't have the space. I'm going to make this natural mind a little smaller. We always tend to make it bigger than what it is anyway. He provides a testimony, right? First time. Oh, he provided the testimony way before Moses came along. It was the oral testimony. It was the vocal testimony handed down from generation to generation, beginning with Adam, the first man, Adam. Passed on from generation to generation. It was an oral, not tradition, oral testimony. Though they understood it or not, God knew what it was. God knows what it is, and God purposed it with a particular design. To direct, turn, lead, guide, and bring unto His Son. And so at some point, the testimony is written down, and this testimony, you ask any Jew concerning the Torah, and they will say it is a light, because the testimony is a light. In the Psalms, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Lamp unto my feet, feet which imply motion. Path which implies a destined end. Time and time and time again. I'll just say of myself, my heart is always pretty much submit. submitted to the natural mind. Why? Because I know it requires a miracle of God for my heart to turn unto Christ. I know that repentance is granted of God. Jesus also said, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. Well, that applies for new birth. Sure it does. It also applies for the knowledge of new birth. And I'll tell you why. So you have this perfect, beautiful testimony of the children of Israel here, the people of God. Israel is my son, even my firstborn, in Egypt. Then you have this death of a lamb, right? The blood on the doorpost and lintel. And then you have them all going into the Red Sea. Everything of the condition that was before is dead and buried out of God's sight. Once again, unfortunately, it was not buried out of the sight of the children of Israel, because the children of Israel had their eyeballs totally open and were looking and processing with a natural mind. Burial and resurrection. You saw what I did to the Egyptians and how that I bore you. I brought you upon eagle's wings unto myself. And if I go, I will prepare a place to you, and I will come again, that where I am, you may be also. It's a perfect testimony, whether we realize it or not. It is a perfect testimony, and the design of that testimony is perfect as well. It all leads, brings, well, directs, turns, leads, guides, and brings unto the person of Christ. Now, that's reality, right? That's reality. That is the testimony of reality when God sent his son. But now you have a whole generation that just, for whatever reason, I mean, there were some within that generation whose hearts did turn to the Lord. I mean, Moses for one, Joshua another one, Caleb. Yeah, Caleb, who says, you know, the strength I had when we first went in, the strength that I had, that strength hasn't changed. That ability hasn't changed. I don't care how old I am in the flesh, how old I am in this natural life, my strength has not changed. Because it was not my strength. This strength wanes. The Almighty does not wane. He doesn't change. And so here you have a whole group about to enter in, remember? And the Lord declaring the source. Hey, this land drinks from the heavens. The waters, its source, its fountain is above. It's not like what you know. It's not like what you have known. It's nothing like what you grew up with. It's nothing like what you know. But what do they have to do? See, they're already there in God's mind, and in reality, they're already where God wanted them to be. Even though the majority with their hearts submitted to this natural mind says, nah, we still got to get somewhere. Okay, well, whatever, take another lap. But see, that generation got buried. There was another generation. A generation under the headship of Joshua. And in their hearts, listen, for their heart to come unto the knowledge of God, leaving the knowledge of the first man, Adam, the knowledge of man behind, for their heart to come unto where their soul, all this is in the testimony, unto where their soul had already been brought in reality, the moment of new birth, what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings unto myself. They had to do one thing. They had to cross the Jordan. But see, what happened in the Jordan is exactly what happened at the Red Sea. The waters parted. The Red Sea is reality. The Jordan is the heart coming unto that reality in the face of Jesus Christ. When in our hearts, by the Spirit of God, we, quote unquote, cross the Jordan, it is like saying, I know what it's all about. And yet, it's not my knowing. It is the knowledge of God working in me. That's all the Jordan is. The Jordan is God's understanding. How shall I say it? The Jordan is the heart submitted unto God's understanding and no longer our understanding. Because when our heart, by the Spirit of God, is submitted unto God's understanding, His understanding, all this makes perfect sense. It all becomes really clear. Oh my gosh. But see, I was just talking about the children of Israel, but I quoted it. Israel is my son. Oh my gosh. Well, I had me in view, us in view. Yeah, because, you know, there were natural people, you know, but hey, this is really all about Jesus. I mean, He's the one who truly, after His resurrection, He came again and took possession of the land that was given unto Him as an inheritance, who completely, perfectly filled the land with Himself, His very own substance, the land replete, no more to be added, can't add any more. Jesus is totally full. And then because life is present, that land is now found in life. Everything of God present, the fountain of living waters from above, from the heavens, present, a new source present. I must say, this is going to sound crude, but it sounds more crude in Spanish, okay? I said this in Spanish to the students. I was like, but we're still sucking on an old well, on an old source that's not even present. We just don't know. And that's okay. Listen, ignorance is okay. Ignorance is not a sin. It's not a sin. But to stay ignorant is not good. And so then we immediately think, okay, well, what do I need to do? How about cry out to the Lord and ask Him to do what only He can do? I mean, remember, He is still the Almighty. We are still the all-impotent, zero power whatsoever to perform, to do anything concerning God and that which pertains to God. Now, we have power. You know, like that song when I grew up in high school, I got the power. There you go. We have power, we have ability, but in God's eyes, it's zero. Because Jesus once again said, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. No man. He also said, no man, look at this, no man by the natural ability, the natural mind, the mind of the first man, Adam, no man knows the Son. But the Father. And no man knows the Father but the Son. And we want to jump ahead to the rest of it. No, 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 but we don't even have the first part down yet. We still think we have ability. We still think we know. We're convinced that this is the knowledge of God. No, it's not the knowledge of God. It is the knowledge about God. And there's a huge difference. Peter, God revealed unto Peter. Peter, this is when Jesus walked with the disciples. You know, the Jews are no different than the Gentiles. Still came from the first man, Adam. Though God did pick the Jews for His purpose to testify of His Son. Peter, who do men say that I am? God to Peter. From without, from afar, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh my gosh, Peter, flesh and blood. Your natural source didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. Jesus rejoiced about that because there was a revealing from God to Peter And a few verses later, Jesus is talking about going to the cross. No, Lord, it shall never be. Hey, get behind me, Satan. Well, what happened? It's still the natural mind. The mind of the first man, Adam. The mind of Satan, really. I mean, that's why Jesus could tell the Pharisees, look, your father, the devil. Whoa, don't say that. That is not our father. Pharaoh is not our father. We have a father. To know this one, we must know the son. We have a father. We have a life. We have righteousness. We have grace. We have forgiveness of sins. We have peace. We have a fountain of living water. We have all things which the testimony, the scriptures testify of, because the very person is present in the soul. One or the other. Our heart will either be submitted to a natural source, a natural fountain below, and we're going to try to figure it out about, and once again, all of that is applicable here below, right? All the to-do books, all the 10 steps, 20 steps, 3 steps, 1 step, all the steps, they're all applicable here below. Everything applies here below. Why? Because it's coming out of the same natural mind that only knows about, that declares a testimony at one point, bless you, and then totally rejects, bless you, the testimony at another. Complete ignorance, darkness. Ignorance, ignorance, not knowing, because it's man's knowing, the natural mind. And yet the Holy Spirit continues faithful, working behind the scenes upon the ground of our heart, continually working. I mean, to me, the Spirit of God, he just has one job. That's all he does. He will use different things, methods, and things to accomplish this one job, but he just has one job. Prepare the ground of our heart, that our heart may be brought unto the person of God's Son. That's it. First, at the moment of new birth, and then for the knowledge of new birth. Is it okay? I took an allergy pill. I'd be sneezing like crazy. But do you see? That's it. That's it. We will forever, in our hearts, be coming unto the Lord. Our hearts will forever be turning unto the Lord until we begin by the Spirit of God to live, move, and have our being where our life is found. By the ability of the Almighty. God and God alone. Totally, completely satisfied, never thirsting again, as we thirst again here about. Remember the testimony, the evening and the morning were the first day. Evening, the morning, second day, those are natural days. Right? That's a natural day. Evening, morning, third day, natural days. But what about this perfect day that the scriptures declare? This eternal day, a day wherein there is no night, there is no need of the sun in this eternal day. So I had this thought, and I didn't write it down. But the thought was this, because we're not convinced of this at all. I don't think we are. But only the Spirit of God can convince us. But it's like, could there, and I'm just throwing this out there, could there actually be a knowing, a knowledge of God that we make a big deal about ourselves, that I am completely unaware of? Could there be? I mean, as I mentioned, I was reading some chapters of Job, and at first Job said, no, I know. I know all there is to know about. And he went on, and he stood in his righteousness, right? And all his friends tried to say, well, Job, blah, blah, blah. And Job says, look, man, I know everything you know. It's the same source. We're drawing from the same source. I know everything you know. And so towards the end, God steps in. Okay, Job, since you have attained to a higher level of ignorance, let me see. Can you, were you there? Did you do you do? I mean, I could read, it starts, I think, with chapter 38. And before that, it says, okay, Job, I'm going to tell you, and you answer me. And maybe a chapter and a half, I can't remember. And Job is left like, okay, were you there when I created the galaxy? Tell me, Job, you who know so much. I mean, your level of ignorance is outstanding, except it does not attain unto the knowledge of God. It does not attain unto God's knowledge. It's still your knowledge, Job. Regardless of how much you know about, it is an earthly source, the source below, that you've known your whole entire existence. And then Job, I mean, the Lord just, he's not even, no, he's just boom, 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 boom. And Job's like, put my hand over my mouth now. Zip. He's not convinced yet, or maybe he is, of his ignorance. And then the Lord keeps on. Okay, Job. God had to take the initiative for that, right? I mean, the whole entire time, Job struggling with his friend, frustrated with his friend, they're telling Job, look, Job, you need to do this. No, I know that. You don't tell me what to do. I know that. I already know that. Where you just got to my level, that was 10 years ago. I already know that. That's old school. What is it? What do they call it? That's old hat. I guess that's how old I am. No. Tell me something I don't know. Uh-oh. Job, in all your knowing about, you lack the knowing of God. You lack God's knowledge. Because your knowing keeps you down here below. Your knowing can be applied down here below. The knowledge of God is applied above. And that's the difference. God is the only one who directs, turns, leads, guides, and brings a heart above unto his son. Remember Abraham? The Lord brought Abraham out into the heavens. Look now towards that which fills the heavens. So shall your seed be. Beautiful. Beautiful testimony of the fullness, the increase of Christ. I'm not going to. Oh, yeah, I will. Jesus said this. I'll end with this. I really will. Concerning you must become like a little child. I thought, well, no, we're supposed to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. What's up? I would not have you as children, but as mature as men. What's going on here? Well, one of the qualities of a child is that if they're totally, completely, ruthlessly honest, they're going to say, I don't know, right? I mean, that should be the confession. But even as children, man, we're starting to grow our natural carnal mind. It's really hard to say I don't know. It really is. I would say it requires a miracle of God. And yet the wisest man confessed that unto God. Thy servant is but a child, and I don't know. I know he goes on, but he says, thy servant is but a child, and I don't know. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. An understanding heart is a heart that is obedient unto the voice of the Lord, a heart that turns at his voice. That's what an understanding heart is. You can search it out. A heart that will turn, that the knowledge of God may be present. And Solomon ruled and reigned in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, which wisdom, which knowledge, and which understanding was not his. All right, so wrapping it up with this one, Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, basically the natural mind that thinks itself something, my mind that thinks that I'm something or that I've gained some form of knowledge about. See, once I control it, I've gone back to this source. I can't control the eternal fountain. Remember, I can't control the elements. Wise and intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then Jesus says this, I love this. Verse 28, come to me. I know it goes on. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But look what he says, verse 28, the very beginning of the verse. Whoever put the verse numbers in, they put this one, they hit it. They hit the head on the nail. Come to me. And if we totally understood that, we would understand, I cannot come. Because no man can come to me, says Jesus, except the Father draw him. So Jesus is declaring what is totally impossible with man and man's ability, and yet not impossible with God. For with God, all things are possible. So I'll end with that. Please present this to the Lord, Holy Spirit, our true teacher. May he take whatever he desires to take from whatever fragments of the testimony. I wish I had more time. I'd read Job. It's beautiful. You can read it, Job chapter 38 through 42. It's beautiful. It's, I mean, just reading it is like, oh, we may be convinced of man's ignorance, man's knowledge. Maybe not. But please present it to the Holy Spirit, our true teacher, that he would do what God would desire. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you guys.